Word, I pray, Father, to our hearts, that you would guide us, direct us, instruct us, Father. We invite you to do your perfect work. Might our hearts be soft, Lord. Might our guards be down. Might we hear what the Spirit would say this day. Might he be our instructor, our teacher, Lord, and help us to grow together in the knowledge and grace of Jesus. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, grab your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Psalms. We're today going to look at a portion of Psalm 37. Psalm 37. In verse 1, we read, "For fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as a green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil." So David is giving us some instruction about the importance of rest and understanding that God is in control. He opens this chapter by saying, fret not, because you're in the Lord. See, David knew this personal and intimate relationship with the God of heaven. And as a result of that, even when the pressure was on, David was able to have victory over those things. He would say to you and to me, don't heat up. Don't get all stirred up, but rather rest. Stop doing what you're doing in these days. You might be stirred up. You might be heated up, but the Lord would say, I have this. I'll take care of it. You know, as we came into this place today, every single one of us has cares and concerns that we carry about family, about friends, about our coworkers, about our world. So many cares and concerns, and we need to allow God to carry that burden. How many times when you've been carrying something heavy, you've come to the front doors and one of the brothers or a sister out there will ask you the question, how are you doing? And invariably, you will lie to their face. Great. I'm doing great. Not true. You see, we need to be in that place where we can say, feel the freedom to say, I'm not so good today. As a matter of fact, could you pray for me? Or this, or that, or the other. That's what God has given us in the body, you see. And we need to take advantage of that. We need to realize that we can't see everything, but God does. And he never frets about anything because he knows the beginning from the end. This last week, I was coming south, coming home, and I got down close to the curves of Myrtle Creek, and I see the dreaded flashing sign, wreck ahead. And I never did see the wreck. I was able to get off the freeway there at that off-ramp at the 108. They're going into Myrtle Creek and bypass it all and come back in down by Tri-City. I knew it was there, but I couldn't see it. And so often that's the way our lives are. We know that there's something ahead. There's been a sign flashing, if you will, but we can't see it. We know there's an interruption. We know something's going on. But we need to understand and know that things will be made right. As God works in your life, as he works in my life, he is going to make everything right, whether it's here or in eternity. He's going to take care of it for you and for me. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thy envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. You see, that's exactly what we were talking about earlier today. Our culture is unraveling. Our world is frayed for sure. And we simply need to know and understand that judgment is coming against the wickedness. Judgment's coming against the evil one. Reconciliation is coming for God's children. They will be brought to him complete and whole. And things will be made right. So we can rest in that. We can trust in that. He goes on there in verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Trust in the Lord, he would say. The idea of placing confidence in Jehovah, Yahweh, knowing that he's on the throne. You know, we take so many things for granted. Our money, it says, in God we trust. Is that true? Is that true? Well, I hope so. I hope it's true. We need to trust and do good rather than worry and envy. God says here to us through David's pen, trust in the Lord and do good, and you will dwell in the land. Speaking of the land of Israel, speaking of the promised land, speaking of what we would call the land of milk and honey. Now, we know that that's a real journey that Israel made. We read about it in the Old Testament. But it's also a picture for you and for me of the Christian journey, of the Christian life. As we cross the Jordan River, as we enter into relationship with the Lord, in that vital relationship with him, we begin this journey through the land, entering into that place of promise. And God's promise to us here is that if we will simply trust him and do that which he has set before us, that we will experience blessing, that we will experience the feeding that he has for each one of us. As we dwell on that land, we need to become more comfortable in the spiritual land than we are in the material land. We're very comfortable so often moving in our world about us because we can see, we can touch, we can smell, we can feel. The spiritual realm is different, but it's no less important. Matter of fact, it's more important. And so we begin developing this ability to be in contact and connection with that supernatural realm, realizing that it's there that we gain understanding about what's going on in the material realm. And so we embrace him. We embrace the Lord. We avoid temptation to cut corners. You see, we simply need to do the right things. How many times has the Lord spoken to your heart and told you to do something, directed you to take a step or move out, and essentially we've said no? It's not comfortable. It's not easy. And so we resist. But we can't cut corners. We need to be in that place where we're experiencing the land of plenty, and we will experience that as we give ourselves over to the God of heaven. As we say, here I am, Lord, I want to serve you. I want to honor you. I want to use that which you've given me to bless others. And as we begin to give ourselves away into the lives of other people, God begins to pour blessing into our lives that we couldn't even conceive. Because God's going to be no man's debtor. As you become that conduit pouring into other people's lives, he then pours into you and gives you opportunity to minister to others. We need to cross over, you see, into the promised land, that land of milk and honey, because it is a place of richness and blessing. And make no mistake about it, it's the most excellent diet. Partaking of what God has given us in that Christian journey, the land of milk and honey. In verse 4, he says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Delight in the Lord. It's a matter of priorities, you see. We all have to delight in something. We all do delight in something. Last night, my wife brought home what she called a surprise. And it was a tub of ice cream from Umpqua Dairy, and it's some special lemon something or another. I don't know if you've seen that or not, or tasted it. It's a pretty amazing ice cream, actually. It's like totally... I said, well, just give me a little bitty cup. Well, you can imagine, I didn't quite see the little bitty cup. It was expanded a bit. But that was amazing ice cream. I was kind of delighting in that ice cream, honestly. It was great. But we need to delight in those things which are important. In Psalm 1, we read, his delight, the one who isn't walking with the ungodly, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. David delighted in the things of God. David delighted in his word. David delighted in his relationship with the God of heaven. You see, we need to join David in rightly delighting in heavenly things. David delighted in his God. He delighted in his word. He delighted in his healing. As you read through the Psalms, he delighted in his forgiveness. He delighted in his protection. And you could go on and on and on about the things that we can delight in as God, as we have this relationship with God through Christ. You see, we need to take account. We need to take assessment. What are the things that bring joy to your heart? What are things that bring joy to my heart? Well, family, friends, the word, our relationship with the Lord. Or is it more the things of the world? Well, honestly, you might say it's more the things of the world than it is the things of heaven. I want to change, but I'm not sure how. You just start. Pick something that you can delight in your relationship with God. Elizabeth Elliot, wonderful lady, now gone to be with the Lord. Her husband, Jim Elliot, was martyred years ago as a missionary to the Alka Indians, which, long story, but Elizabeth Elliot wrote a number of books. One of those books that she wrote was Keep a Quiet Heart. It's a great book. If you like to read, you should read that book. Excellent. Excellent. And one of the things that I don't remember much of the book now, but one of the things I do remember, she said, or she wrote, when you don't know what to do, simply do the next thing. And that's great counsel. We can become frozen in life because we're not sure. We don't want to make a mistake. But we still have to live. Just live. Take the next step. God will guide you. God will direct you. God will quicken you and help you to understand what he wants you to do. And when you hear his voice, when he speaks to your heart through his word or by his spirit, answer. Do what he says to do, because it's always going to be the best. I need to find my greatest delight in Jesus. Why? Because as I delight in him, what does it say? He will give me the desires of my heart. Okay, Mercedes, motorcycle, 3-bedroom, 2-bath house. No, that's not what it's about, you see. Because as I'm delighting in the Lord, as I'm focused upon him, he begins to do a work in my heart. He begins to mold and shape and change those things which are important to me. I don't know if you came to know the Lord later in life, but something happens when you come into that relationship with him. All of a sudden, things start to change. The things that seem so important before salvation kind of begin to just kind of drain away. It's an amazing thing. Some things he takes away immediately. And you've heard people bear witness to that, testimonies, how God delivered them from various things. Other things, it takes longer. The Lord leaves them there and allows us to work through those with him to develop us in our relationship with him. But most certainly, we are experiencing a changed heart. A changed heart. If I delight in the Lord, he'll give me the desires of my heart. And oh, how my heart has changed over the last 40 plus years. What seemed so important in those days, now I realize not important at all. so many other things that are so important. You see lives changed because of the gospel. You see people touched and healed. You see marriages restored. You see family members brought back into the fold. You see so many things as you're walking with Jesus, making that your priority. We need to delight in him. In verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Commit. Commit your way to the Lord. It's a matter of trust. We need to be willing to lay it down before him and say, here it is. Here's my life, Lord. Use my life for your glory. Guide my steps, Lord. Help me to be faithful to you. We simply need to roll our burden onto him. When I was reading that, you were thinking about rolling your burden onto him. I don't know if you remember, I don't know if they even have them anymore, but when I was in school, they had what they called the medicine ball. Those big balls that you get guys on both sides of it, and you can knock it up in the air and it bounce around, and then on the floor, and then you'd push against it. But the idea was to get it up off the floor above because it was easier to deal with. That's exactly what we need to do. We need to get our cares off the floor and above in him and let him care for those things. Let him take care of them. The idea is of lightening my load. And we need to do that. You might be here this morning with a load you're carrying that is just crushing. The Lord says, give it to me. Cast all your cares on me because I care for you. The word is clear that he constructed us to be dependent on him. Cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. You see, it also says something else. It says what? If we trust in him, he will bring it to pass. He's going to bring resolution. He's going to bring wholeness and healing, what that looks like in your life and in mine. It's interesting, though, it says not we will bring it to pass, but he will bring it to pass. He will bring it to pass. We need to be praying, Lord, give me an understanding heart. What's he going to bring to pass? His will in our lives. That's what's going to happen. He's going to bring to pass those things which he has before ordained that we should walk in them. He has works for you to do. He has works for me to do. He has things he wants us to do in our lives to accomplish his work, not only in us, but in those around us. You see, you and I, honestly, we're interested in the immediate. But our Heavenly Father is interested in the eternal. We've become in a very quick society. We want everything fast and supersize it, right? Everything fast. But that's not the way the Lord works. It takes years sometimes for him to develop in us what we need to have in order to be the instrument that he wants us to be. But make no mistake about it, if we're willing, he will do the work and he will see it happen. And the changes that will come about and the work that he does will just blow your mind. Will blow my mind. And it blows my mind every time I think about what the Lord is doing in our lives, in this place. This very small community, but we're impacting a world. It's amazing. It's awesome. It's exciting. All those words. And we need to see that. We need to look above all the vitriol, and we need to get our eyes upon what he is doing, not what's not happening. Because what he wants to happen will happen. The scripture says, what he makes straight, no man can make crooked, and what he makes crooked, no man can make straight. That's the bottom line. God's will be done in your life and in mine. In verse 7, he says, rest in the Lord. Maybe you might want to circle that part of the verse. And wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way. Because of the man which brings wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Rest in the Lord, he would say again. Rest in the Lord. Perhaps that's the biggest challenge for us. Resting. I read a book years ago, or saw the title perhaps. It says, when I relax, I feel guilty. You ever feel like that? When I relax, I feel guilty. But the Lord would say to us, don't feel guilty. You need to relax. Jesus would pull the disciples away for times, downtime, so that they could be renewed and refreshed and restored before they went out again. But we need to rest in him. So many times it seems easier to wrestle rather than rest, because at least we feel engaged, right? We're engaged in the battle. But is it the right battle? Who is fighting the battle? Am I doing it in my own strength or in his? I think at least then I'm doing something. Have you ever had somebody tell you or heard somebody say, do something, even if it's wrong? That's really bad counsel. Really, really bad counsel. Do something, even if it's wrong. I understand the heart, but the counsel is not good. We need to rest. And we need to be patient. Those two things go hand in hand as we wait upon God's timing, as we wait upon his timing. And it can be hard. There are things that drive us that we want to see happen in our lives. We'd like to see them happen sooner than later in our kids' lives. But we need to rest and have patience. Abraham had some good moments and some bad moments. We know that, right? He didn't rest too well, and as a result, Ishmael came into the world. But when he finally waited upon the Lord blessed and did exactly what he said he was going to do when he brought Isaac into the world. We don't want any Ishmaels in our lives. We need to be patient. But you don't know how old I am, you might say. I don't have that many years left. You have as many years left as the Lord wants you to have. And in those years, he will bless you if you will simply be faithful, if you and I will wait patiently and rest in him. But I want to run ahead. My perspective is that I have to do something. And the Lord would say, no, sit, Mark. Stay. Sit and stay, and I'll take care of this. And he does. He opens doors. He closes doors. And it's just such an amazing thing to watch and see happen. David would tell us there's some things that we can do in preparation for what the Lord is doing in our lives. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Say, be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. There it is. See, it's rest. That's a rest verse in the margin of your Bible. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Just write out there, rest. And then underneath that, you can write, trust. And then stay. But it's a journey. We're on a journey to rest. And we will see God accomplish more things than we could ever accomplish in our own strength. You know, you hear people talk about burnout a lot, particularly in ministry. People talk about being burnt out. You know, what that says is that ministry is in the flesh. Because if God is guiding, he is going to give you the strength for the things that you undertake to do. There's not going to be burnout. Do we get tired in ministry? Sure. We do get tired. We all get tired in ministry. The key is not to get tired of ministry. To realize that we have been blessed beyond measure, that we could be an instrument in the hands of God to accomplish his purposes. That's amazing. We read it earlier in our studies that who he uses, the weak and the foolish, right? To confound the strong and the wise. And he's using you, he's using me. We fall into that category, you see. Get into the journey. Just do the next thing. And God will meet you there. It's a supernatural place. A place of trust, a place of rest, a place of fruit. He says, if you'll simply trust me, I'll see that you're fed. I'll see that you're taken care of. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for your promises. We thank you, Lord, that you never fret, you never worry, Lord. You are absolutely in control. And all things are unfolding, Lord, according to your perfect will and plan. And Lord, I pray for each of us in this place today that you would help us, Lord, to rest in you. It doesn't mean to be lazy, Lord. We're still engaged. We're still living life. But we're doing so with an understanding that you will see your purposes done as we trust you to guide and direct our steps. I pray, Father, that you would help us to learn and that we would be willing to simply take that first step into that supernatural place of trust and reliance upon you and your Holy Spirit as he ministers in our lives and through our lives. I pray, Father, for each one here today that they would find a measure of peace, a measure of rest as they cast their cares on you. For that person, Lord, who is just feeling crushed by the weight of life, might they be able to cast that care on you, Lord? Might they be set free from it? Might they experience the wonder, Lord, of resting in the arms of a loving Heavenly Father? I pray indeed that the Lord would guide and direct your steps, that he would bless you, that he would keep you, that he would cause his face to shine upon you, and that he would give you peace. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.